గురవే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురోః శ్రీయుతాపదకమల శ్రీగురుర్వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవ సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామీతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతిదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర్భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. We are discussing on the topic of positive thinking or positive mental attitude this evening. These joint sessions of all the devotees together, we have been doing it this semester, especially for one specific purpose, that all of you have been working very hard, going out of the way to preach and propagate the mission of Krishna consciousness for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. At the same time, it is very important for us to take out some time for self-improvement or self-development or understanding about one's own progress in Krishna consciousness and to find out ways and means to make our Krishna conscious life better. Often we give courses on stress management and self-management and many such seminars. For the outsiders, we may present something very superficial because people find it difficult to digest the import of the scriptures. But in this session today, we would like to understand in depth about the mind, the nature of the mind, the working of the mind, so that we will be able to harness the powers of the mind to our Krishna conscious benefit. In fact, the Shastras say it is more easy to be a king of the whole world than to master the mind. So if one has mastered the mind, then there is nothing to be conquered in this world. So that is why it is worthy to spend an evening to understand the subtleties about the mind. Although originally we are pure spirit soul, when we come to this world, we become covered over by false identification. The first element that is created in the material world is ahankar, the mithyahankara, false ego. So the false ego covers the soul. As soon as the false ego covers the soul tends to think, I am this material body. Immediately, That is false identification. So the soul, although originally pure, has many wonderful qualities, you know, like loving, sacrificing, being joyful, being peaceful, being serene, all these qualities. But once he is covered over by the false ego, immediately he thinks, I am the center of this world, I am the enjoyer. He becomes selfish on a bodily platform and he tries to enjoy and exploit the world. And in that heart struggle he runs here and there. So once the false ego is polluted, then subsequently the intelligence is polluted, then the mind and senses also become polluted. So when do we call all these elements as polluted? When they don't do the activities which they are supposed to do. Like the false ego is polluted, so the ego tends to tell you that you are the master of everything, although we are very insignificant. Same way the intelligence, senses, everything becomes polluted, owing to which we suffer in this world terribly. And we undergo many, many sufferings in this world. So that's called as a bewildered soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word bewildered soul. Mudhatma. Prakrite kremanani gunai karmani sarvashaka ahankara vimudhatma. How can atma become vimudha? Yes. When atma is covered by false ego, he can become vimudhatma. Karta aham iti manyate. He himself thinks I am the doer. So, we are mostly going to focus today on the vimudhatma, the bewildered soul, how he behaves in this world. Because we are in the same situation. So from a vimudha stage we want to come to a pure stage. So it's worthy of understanding what happens to the bewildered soul in this world. So now that the intelligence is bewildered, so we have to bring the intelligence to a stage of freedom from that bewilderment. Unless intelligence is free from bewilderment, then how can it guide the mind? How can it guide the senses? It cannot. So the intelligence has to be made free from bewilderment. So the purpose of today's discussion is to help us to understand with intelligence how we became bewildered in this world. And while after we understand it, then we will be able to identify ways and means to get rid of the bewilderment. Once we become free from that, then we can guide the mind and senses very easily with that. Often, positive thinking or positive mental attitude is being spoken about in the modern times very vividly by many people all over the world. So their idea of PMA, or positive mental attitude, is that you think you can achieve success and then it's done. You have an auto talk. Now you are going for an interview. You tell yourself, it's done. I got the job. Now I made it. You keep thinking like that again and again. And then when you go to the interview, what happens? You will win. So this is what they say. It's called as positive mental attitude. Most of the auto talk books, positive mental attitude books, talk about this kind of thing. But if you take a closer look, you will understand. On Stephen Covey, he writes that in the last 50 years of management research, many books are being published which are all called as personality ethic books. Personality ethic means they tell you to superficially change your behavior. Like for example, you always smile, look like a good person. You shake hands with people, talk warmly, deal with, especially the customers, deal with them so warmly that you can get them to do what you want them to do. How to influence them. So there are so many courses being offered on communication skills, on listening skills, on public relations skills. So many courses are being offered nowadays. And all of them simply focus on your superficial change. Externally, how you can change, how you should dress, how you should speak, how you should smile and all that. So this is called as personality ethic. But this is only the last 50 years of books. But prior to that, 200 years of books, if you see in the market, they all talk about character ethic. They say, unless you are a person of sound character, having the core integrity, trustworthiness, loyalty, maturity, such kind of traits, it's not possible for you to be happy internally, even if you put up a show externally. So they all focus on that. They say that if you harbor malice towards anyone outside, then you are also harming yourself. Harboring anger or greed towards other people is like two-way dagger. Of course, you harm him and you harm yourself more. So you harm him, say 10%, 90% you harm yourself. It's like that. So they say that one has to first get character. Without character, externally putting up a show is useless. Now, such character ethic people, they say that there are certain principles in this world which if you follow, your mind will be automatically positive. Say for example, there are 8 qualities of a leader that we often study about. One is the patience, tolerance, humility, and discrimination, decision making, adaptability, courage. So there are 8 qualities of a leader. So these qualities are actually called as principles. If one doesn't have these core principles, then one cannot have a positive mental attitude as per the character ethic. Even if you superficially put up a show. Because they say, try to compare the law of the farm and law of the school. Law of the farm means you put a seed, you water it. Today you sow a seed, tomorrow you can't expect fruits. Because today if you put a seed, it may take a year or two. So it takes time. Everything in this world takes time and practice. Just like a child, you know. When a child is born, he first tries to sit, then he tries to turn to the side, then he crawls, then he catches a wall and tries to stand up, and he stumbles and falls, and gradually he picks up, you know, he is able to walk slowly. Then he can run, you know, when he grows into adult. Similarly, everything in this world takes time to evolve and grow. That is called as the law of the farm. Law of the school means you cram your school books and vomit in the exam and get a good rank. That's law of the school. So what the character ethic is telling you is law of the farm. Yeah. What personality ethic teaches you is law of the school. Now, the character ethic people are very confident. They say that these principles are so absolutely important. They are like lighthouse principles, they are saying. Lighthouse principles means you will not be able to escape them. You have to follow them. For example, lighthouse, can they be moved? Can lighthouse be moved? It cannot be moved. It has a fixed position. But a boat or a ship can be moved. Isn't it? Similarly, we have to adjust our lives ultimately to make these principles the center of our life. If you really want to have a positive attitude. That's what the character ethic or all the wisdom literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Quran, they all say. Like that. These principles are core to your life. And vital to your life. If you don't follow them, then you are bound to suffer. And what is the way of adjusting the superficial principles? You know, what is it like? Say for example, I have a map with me. So I have to go to Bharati Vidyapeeth College of Engineering. So I have a map with me. Only problem is I have got the map of Koth Road Bharati Vidyapeeth College. Pharmacy College. So somebody gives me the map of that. So now I have to go. So I have the map with me. Do you think I'll be able to reach? So I take my car. So I go up to the end of the NG road. Now I have to find out how to go to Bharati Vidyapeeth College Engineering. But then I have the Bharati Vidyapeeth Koth Road. Will I be able to reach there? What do you think? So I'm struggling. I'm finding out. I don't find any landmarks on my way. And I'm getting confused. I'm looking at the map, looking at the road, because I'm not getting what I'm wanting to get. So now I say to myself, let me have a positive attitude. Now I will be able to reach it, I'll be able to make it. Just I have to have faith in it, that's all. Padesham, you'll be able to make it, don't worry. Just auto talk. And I may auto talk 100 times and keep rotating, go to East Street and come back to MG Road again. But I'll never reach Bharati Vidyapeeth with a wrong map. Isn't it? So not having those core qualities and trying to superficially look like a good person. That is like having a wrong map and trying to locate the actual place. It's like that. No matter how much I change my attitude, how much I change the speed of my car, or attitude of my mind, that is useless. That kind of attitude. Because I don't have the right map. So the map are the qualities that are given in the scriptures. So one needs the right map or the right setting of the heart in order for one to achieve the proper frame of mental attitude. Which is internal, internally, externally it's the same. There is no superficial show. There is no empty show in that. But in the modern times, the personality people, they teach you, because you know, such qualities to achieve, it takes time, isn't it? It takes long time to achieve those qualities. So they say that, you know, let us adopt the law of the school, you know, law of the farm is too far. So let us adopt the law of the school and let us quickly behave like a good person externally. That is only superficial. So, positive mental attitude courses are useless, which most often focus on the externals. So that is the reason why this world is now becoming filled with people who are superficial and empty at heart. Most of the courses offered in America are like that. That makes people, that's why Chaitanya Charan Prabhu wrote an article, Smiling Faces, Crying Hearts, isn't it? It's a very appropriate title. So such positive mental attitude is not appreciated in the scriptures. So one has to actually know what the mind is and how the mind works to know how, where to make the right change to bring about a true change. You can show the first slide. Yeah. You can have the light if you want. Yeah. So there is something called a SWOT analysis, which is generally done for organization, generally done for a company. Strength, weakness, opportunity and threats. But this can also be done for every individual. Strengths are those which are very good and working well in our lives. Sometimes you see that certain things are smooth, going on well. There are many things in our life which we are able to do smoothly. Like say for example, you are able to get up every morning, come from Mangalarti, so it's good. So that becomes one of your strengths. So you can deal with others nicely. So that's one of your strengths. But there are also weaknesses. Like you see, the weakness. Weaknesses are those things which you gradually identify in your life and you are afraid of. Weaknesses are those aspects of life which are not so good and are causing sorrow and discomfort to us. They make us, we know that these are my weakness and I have to improve. And everyone has a different type of weakness. Somebody may have weakness of lust. Somebody may have weakness of anger. Somebody may have weakness of greed. Somebody may have weakness in laziness. Somebody may have weakness in distaste for hearing Krishna Katha. So these are actually weaknesses. Although you know what is right, you know that you are far away from the right. You are not close to the right. So you identify them as weakness. And you know that you have to improve upon it. Similarly, there are also threats. Threats are those things that we may be worrying about in the future. And opportunities are those golden chances that may be right there in front of us, if only we are able to recognize them. So these are threats are to be worried about in the future. See, both are in future, threats and opportunities. See, there is a future and there is past, you are saying. See, opportunities and threats are put on the future side. On the past side, there is, we can analyze our strengths and weaknesses as we have been exhibiting in the past. So one can do this study, but this study requires a very detached mind and a calm and composed state of mind to make this kind of SWOT analysis about oneself. This we call as a self-awareness or self-observation. It's not very difficult. If one does this regularly, then over a period of time one can understand what are my scripts. Scripts, when we say what we mean, every one of us have a particular type of paradigm to our life. We all have different strengths and different weaknesses, and every one of us is unique. And we all have to do different types of homeworks to overcome the weakness and to further develop the strengths. So why do we talk about this? If we make this beginning step in our life, then from there we can proceed on when we learn about the mind more. After doing this exercise, besides that, if you have the knowledge of the mind, then you can certainly become a much better person. So actual meaning of developing positive mental attitude is this. That means do a SWOT analysis, have that chart with you on one hand, on the other hand learn about the nature and everything of the mind. Then finally we will be seeing the solution, how we are. Then finally we come to know how we should change our life in such a way that we will actually get the positive attitude. Next. You see, by understanding this Maslow's triangle, you can also understand why a person lacks positive attitude or happy attitude in life. Like you said, first one needs a food, clothing, shelter, the basic necessities of life, as you say, first physiological needs. Then there is second need for safety and security. And after one security and safety is ensured, he said, then we need the love and affiliation to some group or society. Like people make, you know, Malayalam society or Kannada society. Everyone wants affiliation to some society. And support and friendship. One needs these things. And that is fulfilled, then one wants self-respect, recognition and status. And after that he said, one thinks about self-realization or self-actualization, as Master said it. So, as these needs are fulfilled, one actually feels cheerful and positive in life. Like you see, Annamaya. First, one thinks only of one's own food. Anything that is other than me is meant for me to eat. Whether it is a living being or non-living being, whatever it is, everything is meant for my eating. That's Annamaya stage. Pranamaya stage is a stage when one understands that the other living bodies also defend themselves, so I have to fight with them. So pranamaya is a stage of fighting. Now most of the world today is covered with pranamaya stage. Because you find they use words like, you know, let us tackle the market, let us fight off the situation. So that is actually pranamaya stage, in a mood of always defending. Jnanamaya is a stage when one thinks more deeply. One can understand knowledge about different things of the world. Then Vijnanamaya stage is a stage when one understands the soul. I am not the body, I am the soul. One understands the Vijnanamaya stage. Anandamaya stage is a stage when one understands the Atma and the Paramatma, Super Soul. And one develops actually love for Godhead in Anandamaya stage. So if you see, there is a close similarity actually. Originally the Vedas say about these different stages, which is also to some extent captured by Maslow when he spoke about this Maslow's triangle. So one's inner security and sense of worth increases as one goes higher and higher. A person in the Anandamaya stage has the deepest security because he feels the constant protection of Krishna in his heart. So constantly one feels the company of God, then one has inner great sense of worth. And when you go down, you will find the sense of worth keeps reducing. Like when one is in Vijnanamaya stage, he just knows the soul, but he doesn't have the company of the super soul. He doesn't know. And in Jnanamaya stage, one is in a platform of mental speculation. So he hasn't arrived at the ultimate truth. So Pranamaya stage, one is defending. That means one's heart is full of insecurity. One tries to prove that I am great. One tries to get his sense of worth from others. So like that you will find the security goes down. So the positive mental attitude actually increases more and more as one realizes his true identity and one's relation with Krishna. Next. So as it is shown here, you all know that the soul is covered by the subtle and gross body. But the problem begins when the soul identifies with the material body. We can easily understand that our sukha and dukkha, they come only because we identify with the material body. Otherwise, we will never suffer at all in this world. Like you see, for example, I identify with my, say, Mercedes car. So somebody breaks the car or creates a dent in the car, then I feel great sorrow. And if I know that it is not my car, then I feel joy. Isn't it? So that is sorrow and joy. That's how the duality is created. Now try to extend the same analogy to the body. I am not the body, I am the soul. Isn't it? So if somebody inserts my body, somebody says you are black, for example, and I feel morose. Why? Because I think I am the body. But if somebody says, no, although you are black, you are still beautiful, then I feel, okay, now I am happy. At least I agree I am beautiful. So that means I think I am the body. Just as I think I am the car. Same thing. So this is actually bodily identification. So all identification, I am a Maharashtrian, I am a Keralite, I am a Tamilian, I am North Indian, I am South Indian, or I am Indian. So all this is actually bodily identification. Similarly, I am an engineer, I am educated, I am intelligent, I am big. A fat man thinks I am big. A thin man thinks I am skinny. So all these identifications come from where? Bodily identification. This is called as bodily platform. So that's the first misidentification, which actually causes us suffering. So our positive attitude or negative attitude begins from here, in the grasshopper stage, when we identify with the body. Because we become too concerned about what others think of me. We become image conscious. Like, you know, for example, I want to chant. You put a bead bag around your neck, especially new boys, when they put a bead bag around the neck, they become very conscious. What are people thinking about me when I carry the bead bag? If I put my hand inside the bead bag, probably they think I have a fracture in my hand. I got some damage in the hand. Whole world should understand that I am a Krishna's devotee, I am carrying beads. Nobody should think I have a bandage. So often we become too concerned about what others think of me, what others perceive about me. Now the problem is, can you change everyone else's perception in the world about you? Which is better? To remain cool-headed yourself or to go and change everyone's perception? Yeah, you can't change everyone's perception in the world. That means if you identify with the external body, the suffering begins from there. That is why people are trying to change so much externally. People put cosmetics, they have very nice hairstyles. You know, people put all costly dresses, you know, glamorous dresses. And those who are very short, they wear high heels. Why they do all that? Simply to earn love from others. Please don't think I am an ordinary person. Please believe that I am a great person. That's the whole thing, So the thing begins here, the problem actually begins here. Now we can go further, subtler, to the subtle body, where you have the mind, intelligence, ego. There are further problems there, when you go to subtle body. Like, you know, mind, as you know, what is mind? Mind stores the previous anubhav. All the previous experiences are stored in the mind. And also the previous thoughts, unfulfilled desires, they are all stored in the mind. So mind tends to be always emotional. Of course, we have to understand that mind, intelligence, ego, they are all dead. They are actually active only because soul is present in the body. So the soul acts through the mind, the soul acts through the intelligence, and soul acts through the false ego at three different levels. So there is always a tug of war between the mind and intelligence. Next slide, you can show. Like, mind is the source of thoughts, unfulfilled desires and previous experiences. While the intelligence is the decision maker. Often the mind is related to emotions and impulse, whereas intelligence is related to reason, reasoning and decision making, discrimination, evaluation, analysis. They all are connected to the intelligence. Whereas the mind goes by impulsivity, or emotions, feelings, pleasures, immediate conveniences. Whatever I feel is giving me pleasure, I should just enjoy. Don't think about it deeply. Like I was telling one boy in KGP recently, try to understand how wonderful is the knowledge of the soul. I told him, if you know you are the soul, you won't feel, I am an Indian and he is Pakistani. You won't see all this difference. You will be able to see everyone as a soul. And this boy said, that's my problem, sir. That's why I don't come to your class. He said, I asked why. Because when I see India Pakistan match, I don't get that fun. He was telling. So people want to be absorbed in ignorance. They don't want to come out of it. So that is the nature of the feelings. Often our feelings are deceptive. Because if you only think about immediate pleasures and immediate conveniences and immediate relief from suffering, then you will act on the platform of mind. Whereas intelligence means the reason prevails. You have the discrimination. For example, after you finish an examination, somebody comes and asks you, how is the result? And your result is very bad. Say you got a YD and you are morose, you are broken hearted. And if a friend comes and tells you, hey, it used to happen to me also. At that time, you know, one friend really gave me emotional support and gave me a puff of cigarette. No. That way I became very peaceful. You also, my friend, take it and you will be alright. Yeah, it appears, from the viewpoint of mind, it appears to you, oh, this friend is my well-wisher. No? He is coming to give me emotional support along with a puff of cigarette. No? Isn't it? Yeah, the mind may say, but your intelligence says, you fool. He is coming to kill you by giving this. So, it's a kind of competition between the mind and intelligence often. There's a tug of war between the mind and the intelligence. Actually, this tug of war is very meaningful to understand because sometimes the mind says, just look at the world. Everyone is doing all kinds of activities. Yeah? Come on, you also enjoy. Why do you have to, you know, become like a monk or like a mendicant, you know, chanting mala, wearing tilak and going to temple? And why to be so spiritual? Come on, just enjoy life. After all, you are not the first one to enjoy. Everyone is enjoying. So mind speaks like that. Whereas the intelligence says, no. How long are you going to live? Who knows what will happen to you tomorrow? And for every one of your acts, you are being watched by more than 12 witnesses. And you will be severely punished if you go on. And you have studied scientifically, understood Bhagavad Gita. After this, if you do sin, you will get double punishment. So intelligence wants you. So you will see that this tug of war goes on. So if reason prevails, then intelligence wins. And if emotion and feelings prevail, then the mind wins. Again, here also there is something to do with positive mental attitude here. Say for example, you are a speaker or a singer. You go to the stage, the mind says, no. Oh, I can't sing, I can't speak. Mind is like, sometimes you go by the feelings you have. How many of you have stage fright? Raise your hand. A good number, isn't it? Yeah, you have stage fright. That is coming from where? Mind or intelligence? Mind, yeah. Mind puts in stage fright. Mind tells you can't make it. And then when you go, you are trembling. But intelligence says, come on. Right from child, you know, your school days you have been singing in bathrooms. When are you going to sing on stage? Isn't it? You will make it. Come on. After all, other singers are not so good. Don't worry. So there is a tug of war going on and you climb up the stage, you take the mic. You start trying to sing. But if the mind overpowers you, finished. After few lines, you will forget the song. You will come down with a head down. Still, audience will clap to encourage you. Sometimes it happens with some people. On the other hand, if intelligence wins, even if you are not such a good singer, audience will appreciate your confidence. Surely. So, again, the positive mental attitude has got to do with a stout intelligence. A strong intelligence. Now, for the intelligence to be strong and confident, it's not that intelligence is always the same. As I was telling in the beginning, first the false ego covers the soul, and because of that the false ego gradually pollutes the intelligence and mind and senses also. So that way all three can be polluted. Often people have a wrong notion that intelligence will always guide you on the right path. People have a wrong notion. That's not true. Intelligence need not necessarily guide you on the right path. It depends on what is the state of your intelligence, whether it is pure or impure. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in famous verse, he says, Indriyani paranjahur indriyebhya param manah manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. He says, At the lowest platform there is body. Above the body is the senses. The senses are superior. Why? Because the lust is dormant in the body, but the senses are the outlet for lust. Like for example, through the eyes and through the sense of touch. So one may express the lust through the senses. So senses are superior to the body. And above the senses is the mind, Krishna says. Why? Because even when you are sleeping in the night, your body is inactive, senses are inactive, but the mind is active. The mind is getting dreams even in the night. So mind is superior to the body and the senses. So mind is above. And then it says intelligence is above the mind also. Why? Because if intelligence is stout and strong, it can subdue the mind. It's possible. Actually, one can use intelligence to subdue the mind, and when mind is controlled, senses will automatically be controlled. So intelligence is superior. But above the intelligence is the proper soul, which is beyond all these things. Yobuddhe paratasasa, he says. So, if one can understand that I am not the body, I am the soul, and directly engage the soul in the Lord's service, then what happens? Then everything else follows. Just like, for example, if I have to take this shirt to ashram, and I am already wearing the shirt. If I go to ashram, the shirt will come with me, isn't it? I don't have to separately carry it. Similarly, if the soul is engaged in Lord's service, all the other coverings are also over the soul, and they will all automatically be engaged. That we will see eventually when we go further. Next. I was telling you that intelligence is also not pure. From this you can understand how even intelligence has problem. There are interferences that alter our function and affect the willpower that we have. Often people talk about willpower, but our willpower is affected by these four things. There is mental positioning, which means we all have an optimistic approach or a pessimistic approach. Correct? Like you can say the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. So everyone doesn't see the things in the same way. Some people see it positively, some people see the things negatively. Actually, many people have the serious problem of seeing things negatively every time. They are able to see the false more fastly than see the good things. Some people say, anybody I look at, what comes to my mind first? Their bad qualities or the problems they have. I am not able to see the good qualities. So that's actually a pessimistic approach. You know the story of the shoe company people who went to a town. One man went and came and said, oh, in that city nobody wears shoes, so it's useless for us to take our business there. And second salesman went and he phoned up and said, please send me two truckloads of shoes. Call came and they were wondering how. He said, in this town nobody has shoes and all are demanding. Please send. Please send me two truckloads, he was asking. So, this is the optimistic or pessimistic approach that we have. That comes from intelligence actually. It's called mental positioning. Mental limits. Our natural trend is to create a comfort zone. This is another problem. Some people think, oh, if I extend myself a little bit, oh, my body will pain. They become too cautious about preserving their body. They think that, no, I cannot do it. For example, if somebody has been always getting 20th rank in the class, for them to think they can get first rank is unbelievable. They will not even consider whether am I working hard enough. But they will assume that, you know, I am supposed to be always somewhere near 20th, 18th or 20th. If you tell them you can actually achieve 5th or 4th rank, they will not believe. That is actually called as mental limit. We create a comfort zone and we think that, like some boys ask me when I meet them, when they come for counselling, that, you know, they have been sleeping for 9 hours a day. And they say to reduce it to 7 hours, they feel, my Lord, it is too much. How can we sleep 7 hours and survive in this world? They feel like that. So that is actually a mental limit. Similarly, some people have a habit of eating too much. And they think they have to eat that much. So, we can easily see, we have put ourselves in a comfort zone, which is actually a wrong zone. Actually, one has much, much more capacity to do things. But one has no understanding of that. Assumptions, imagining negativity. This is another serious problem in a These are like viruses in the intelligence, you can say. Like, you know, when you are, like you are going in a car and the lorry is coming on the other side. Imagine that the lorry is going to come straight on my car and have a collision. Although such a thing is not going to happen. Your mind imagines negativity. Very unfortunate. Some people imagine, sometimes the mind becomes, you know, because of this kind of thing in the intelligence, the mind also becomes covered by such negative things that the mind imagines. You can see that. Some people even cry that I get so many unwanted, crazy ideas in the mind. This could be due to many things, like we have given input of horror movies, yeah? Exorcist movies. Yeah? And we have actually, not only in this life, in many previous lives we have given inputs, because of which all the negativity has come in us. Yeah? So that's called as imagining negativity. And associated memories means preconceived notion. Preconceived notion is a big problem in this world. Associated memories. Once you develop a notion about something, it's very difficult to change. That's called a preconceived notion. Like for example, if you think that somebody has some limitation, you say you feel that somebody is inattentive, and you observe that they commit mistakes. You observe them once, twice and finished. Now you are convinced that this person can never change. This person is inattentive, he will commit mistakes and I can't put trust in him. And you are convinced about it and you will keep propagating it to others. So that is preconceived notion. So these four things are there in intelligence, owing to which actually intelligence cannot function smoothly. When we are in material consciousness, these four things actually trouble the intelligence. So intelligence actually, although a decision maker, still he cannot give good decisions. Next. Now we are studying about the mind in detail. Like we can go from conscious mind to the subconscious mind. First we can study about the conscious mind. See, if you take an iceberg in the top of water, like you heard the saying, tip of the iceberg. So conscious mind is like the tip of the iceberg, say 10%. 90% is under the water. That's like the subconscious mind. So when you take your conscious mind, that conscious mind also has varieties of thoughts. Those thoughts are called as the vrittis. Vrittis are like the waves in a pond, ripples in a pond or waves in an ocean. There are always thoughts that are constantly going on in our mind. Superficially we can see that. And as we said earlier about the different things, mind is having unfulfilled desires, and the mind is having experiences and all these things, they are in the conscious mind. And we will see how we degrade from a positive thinking to negative thinking. You can go to that slide. Yeah. How do we develop a positive or negative attitude towards anything? This is very important to know. First, the mind gets the input from the memory. Actually, before this, let us tell an example. Because if you hear an example, this chart is very easy to understand. So one time when I was walking in the street, I saw an old man passing by. And all of a sudden from a street, small lane, a dog came running, barking behind him, and then it bit him. And the old man immediately fell on the ground, waving his hands and legs, crying, barking like a dog himself. Then immediately some 4 or 5 people came, they picked him up and they put him in a rickshaw while another man was catching, holding the dog tightly, not letting him go so that the dog won't bite anybody else. So I just saw the sight. It was a very frightening scene. A dog, we have only seen dogs barking, but they bite also sometimes. So after that, any time I go to any place, you see any type of dog, whether it is Alsatian dog, whether it is, you know, what do you call it? Pomeranian, isn't it? There are many nice dogs also. But you know, you see any dog, immediately what comes to mind? The thought of the dog biting the man. So, another time when I was going in the road, as soon as I saw a dog coming behind, actually he was doing something else. But still immediately I took a stick in hand ready. Isn't it? Why? Because I have developed a certain perception. So now try to understand it. Now I have seen a particular behavior, isn't it? Which I observe with my eyes. And when I see that behavior, what happens? It goes into my memory. So what goes to my memory? I understand that dogs generally bite. And that bite can be fatal. Huh? So I understand that. It goes to memory. And that memory is all the time creating the thought waves in the mind. Generally it creates thought waves when you come across a similar situation. Again you see a dog, then the thoughts come in the mind. Based on the memory that you have. Thoughts come. And as soon as the thought comes, it creates a particular kind of consciousness in the mind. And the consciousness brings about the attitude. What kind of attitude we will show in that situation. And the attitude leads to a permanent perception. And the perception alters our behavior. So it's a cycle. That means our personality or our behavior towards anything or anyone depends on all the inputs that we have given to the memory. It's based on that. This is not only to do with dogs, it's even with people also. Say for example, say you know some friend, Mr. X, who is a good friend, and you have respect for that person, you like that person, you know that person a little bit, and you observed him to be a good person, and everyone calls him a good person. One day, one of your friend comes to you, and batters the door, he closes the door, he wants to confide with you. He says, "Do you know about Mr. X? You know, I have been thinking that he is such a nice gentleman. I put faith in him. He asked me for 20,000 rupees. I gave him. But then he took that money and he didn't give it to me back for so many years. And adding to that, he flatly refuses now that he ever accepted that money from me. He is such a mean-minded person. Besides that, in the name of coming to meet me, he has stolen so many things from my room. And I also heard from this person, that person, he did this, he did that. Now I am so much confused, I lost the money, I don't know how will I answer my parents. I have never seen such a bad person in my life," and all that he says. And then he is sobbing and weeping, and then this person goes away. Now after this person goes away, now you have got the memory now. Input, it has gone into your head now. And what happens to you? Thoughts. Then thought waves are arising in your mind, going on. You are thinking that, really, how could it be possible? How could Mr. X behave like that? I have been always thinking he is a nice man. You see, in this world, external, superficial appearances are deceptive. You just cannot believe people. Like that your mind keeps thinking. And it develops a particular kind of consciousness. And then Mr. X batters the door. And then he comes inside your room. And then as soon as you look at him, how do you feel? Immediately your mind, the two thoughts come, your mind, oh-ho, I know who you are, you know, because you already developed a perception. And then Mr. X doesn't know anything what you are thinking. He's just coming and sitting opposite your table and saying, "So my dear friend, it seems that you are doing a project, can I help you in any way?" He's asking, "Help? Thank you. No help. Best help you can do is, no, the door is there. Suddenly you can go back. That's the best help you can do. I don't want to have anything to give and take with you." And X may ask you, "What happened to you? You know, you have been a good friend of mine. How your behavior has changed?" And you don't want to tell him. Because you have developed a certain perception. That's how the attitude and perception that has changed our behavior. See, before that your behavior was one thing. Now your behavior has changed. This is how our behavior towards others or even other things becomes negative or positive. Now we can extend the same analogy to many things in our life. The children in America, they have a facility of seeing 125 channels. And out of these 125 channels, every day, it is about 18,000 to 20,000 crime scenes are shown. Every day, single day, in all these channels put together. So if this is the input, now try to understand. if this kind of input is being given to your memory, more and more you feed. So naturally, what it does, it arises thoughts. Recently, I came to know that in TV they show this wrestlers, they fight, what do you call it? And WWF, isn't it? And the WWF, that's creating a lot of trouble all over the world now. Because people see WWF and they're kicking and beating one another. Students, especially small children, they see this WWF and they, when they go to school, they beat other people for no reason, no good reason. Yeah. At least in India, they are only beating. In America, they shoot also. Children shoot the teachers, they shoot the other students also. Because you are giving that type of memory and input to your memory, naturally your thoughts, your consciousness, attitude, perception, everything changes, behavior changes. And try to see in our own lives, most of our personality, external personality, our behavior to begin with, and subsequently our thinking process, our attitude towards people and things in life, it's all molded by what input you have given to your memory. You can easily see that. Like when I was in my school days, I told my father that I want bell bottom. You know bell bottom? You all know about it or you have not heard about it? You know it, yeah? So my father asked, what is this bell bottom? Then I called one of my friends to show him. And my father saw this. He said, oh, this is like elephant foot. My Lord, you want to wear like this? Why, you don't have foot like an elephant, why do you want to wear this? I said, no, you know, everyone in college is wearing that, you know. You know, they had given a pant for me, and I am the only one wearing like this. Everyone is wearing bell bottom, so I also want bell bottom. So, anyway, he gave bell bottom. Bell bottom was a fashion for some time. Now, do you think anybody wears bell bottom now? Isn't it? Now, again, people have switched over to pants, pant type of, trousers type of pants now. So, why I am saying, because we see, we take in things from others, whether it's external fashion. For some time there was a fashion called disco. You have to keep hair in a particular manner. And it went on for some time. So some trendsetters like the cinema actors or sports stars or dancers, these people set some trend and people follow it for some time. That means what we see with eyes, what we take into our memory, what we give input, based on that we also want to imitate, we also want to do things. And like for example in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas are respected very much. Right from small children up to the old people, they would respect Brahmanas very much. As soon as they would see a Brahmana, they would bow down if he is teaching the society. But in the modern times now, when people look at a Brahmana, they ridicule, they tease. Why? Because such a perception, attitude is created by the other people in society. So everywhere there are so many inputs being given to us by various means. For example, we are getting inputs from the cinema magazines, sports magazines, internet, surfing. We get profuse information through that. By our college textbooks, from our friends, and other forms of media, we are getting all these inputs loaded. And everyone is trying to tell you, look at us, see what we are telling you, hear us. And everyone wants to catch attention. Just look at the advertisement billboards. Everyone is trying hard to get your attention. And everyone wants to give input to your memory. So our memory becomes loaded with unlimited input. And we have a choice. What input to take and what input to reject. But here is a problem. The problem is we have a weak mind. Weak mind is that we are always used, we have become conditioned to the bad things. You tell me, which is easy to remember? Somebody tells you a bad joke. Is that easy to remember lifelong? Or somebody tells you a good thing? That is easy to remember. Which is easy? Which is easy? Huh? Which is easy? Good thing or the bad thing? Bad things. How is it? If the soul is pure, how is it that we are able to retain bad things for such a long time and good things evaporate from our mind? That is not the nature of the soul, that is the conditioned nature of the soul. The conditioned nature is, the soul has come to the material world and is conditioned now to live such a life that he is able to retain only the bad things. That is the great misfortune of the mind. So the mind retains the bad things. That is why we have to be all the more careful in giving the input to our memory. What we give. That's very, very important. Otherwise, if you are not cautious, we will give any type of input to your memory, and then that will alter your behavior. Like I was in IIT, I have seen students, you know, in the hostel they will be wearing their shorts, you know, and the shorts will be torn, you know, the bottom portion, like as if shot by a gun, you know. You will see this. And their hairstyle will be crazy, they will hardly take bath. All the time they will be carrying a Walkman with, you know, with a earphone. Going on constantly. They're walking, going, coming. You know, they will talk in stylish English. So they were physical in India, mental in America. Yeah. So I can see that. So I could clearly see this verse. Yam yam vati smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram tamtame vaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavita. Krishna says that. So they are actually, physically they are here, but they have developed their consciousness to be in America. They are hankering to go there, and they are preparing themselves to go there. So whatever inputs you are giving to your mind, based on that actually your external behavior changes. The way you speak, the way you do things. Like in our base we give training and education to people to become devotees. Just look at their behavior, how it changes. 6 months to 1 year somebody is staying in base. You know, the way they think, the way they speak, the way they do things. So much change you will see, positive change. You know? So a positive or negative change to bring about is in our hands. So we have to become more conscious of this. Just like when you are going in a train or somewhere outdoors, you know, you are very conscious about, you know, what you eat. Like you want to drink some water. Now you won't just, you know, go to any tap and drink water. Or if there is a water kept in some tank, will you just open it and drink it? No, you are always afraid. Maybe it's contaminated. Maybe you will buy a Bisleri bottle and drink. So we are very conscious of our health, conscientious about our health, well-being of the physical body. Same way we have to be conscientious about the well-being of our mind input also. Like the other day when I was coming in the train, I saw some people were selling this much, you know, thick magazines they were carrying, small, small booklets. All novels with pornographic pictures in the covers. Different type of pictures and carrying, and they're selling, and many people are buying thick novels, you know, and buying and reading, loading their mind with all dirty inputs. And people are buying the cinema magazines which are filled with dirty photographs of, you know, man, woman, not properly dressed, and all kinds of color photos and everything. People are just repeatedly watching it. They actually don't know what are they taking in. They are giving input memory. So if you see, their behavior ultimately will be affected by that, beginning from the memory input. So we have to decide whether I want to bring out the animal in me or I want to bring out the devata in me. So in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about divine assets and demoniac assets. Daivi sampad, asuri sampad. So educated people can easily understand what I am saying. So we all have the divinity in us and demoniac nature in us. So we have to decide what to bring out. Depending on, that will depend on what? It will depend on your input you are giving. You can go back to the slide. Yeah. So this is how we degrade ourselves from positive mind to negative mind. Memory absorbs input like a blotting paper. So be careful to feed good quality input. Especially it is said, in the morning hours the mind is very clean. In the morning hours, the mind is very blank. So whatever inputs we give in the early morning hours, that has a very deep and profound effect on the mind. Because there are some things called as samskaras. Vritti, vasana, samskar. These three words are used. Vritti means the thoughts that arise in the mind, like ripples in a pond. And the vasanas are the one level developed thoughts which become impressions, and samskaras are deep wedges which are almost impossible to change. Like for example, if I pour some water in this here, say if there is a wedge here in a cement made like this and it is leading it there, so as soon as I put water here, the wedge will see to it that the water goes only there, isn't it? But if I want the water to go in this direction, what should I do? Two things I have to do. One is I have to fill up that wedge. which is first put up, the impression, deep impression made. Then I have to make another wedge in this direction. Now if you pour water, then it will go like that. Similarly, we all have bad sanskaras in our life, which are deep wedges created, which always make us flow in the wrong direction, every time. Every time you want to be a good person, it again makes you go in that direction. So you have to first close that by resisting our temptations, subduing the evil and sublimating the carnal pleasures. We have to do that. Then we can close that bad sanskara root. Then what is the way we can put the new root? For that, this morning hours are very, very important. And we have to give a good quality input in the morning hours. Then that's actually, when it enters into the system, that will change our behavior positively, as we said. That is the reason why we rise early in the morning and we chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting in the morning, hearing from wisdom literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, from devotees, there cannot be a better thing in this world to do in the early morning hours. Because that is actually, it's like reformatting your hard disk. You all have done, you know, reformatting? Like some virus has come, you struggle hard to remove the virus. Again and again you remove, it's not going. You get the most recent virus software. Still you find it's not going. So what is the best thing to do? Reformat. Completely. Wash out everything. And then you give new input. Then it can be fresh. So morning, in this way, chanting and hearing makes your intelligence very stout. So when intelligence is made stout, then the mind and senses will come under control. So that is about the conscious mind. Actually, conscious mind is something we can perceive. Whatever I have been telling you now. Like how many of you can understand what type of person you are? You are able to perceive what natures you have. How many of you think you have that ability to perceive yourself to some extent? Only half of you. How many? Only half. Okay. Anyway, it is not very difficult. In Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna says it's possible for one to understand one's nature. One has to actually, with a calm and cool mind, if one takes a closer look at oneself and one's behavior. One easy way to do it is to ask your close friends. If you meet your close friends and ask them, they can even write a note and give you what all they feel about you, about your nature, about your behavior. What they feel are your positives, what they feel are your negatives. Maybe you may have your good friends who may be frank to do that. So, we can understand. So, the conscious mind can be understood to some extent. It is possible. And in the conscious mind, you will also see certain behavior, which I would like to read from this book. Very interesting things are given here. Sanskaras, mental impressions from previous experiences. It is very easy to concentrate the mind on material objects. The mind has a natural tendency to go outwards through the senses, to embrace the external world. For example, due to habit, the mind of a man will spontaneously and with great attention concentrate on the form of a beautiful woman. Instant samadhi. One can immediately concentrate on woman. But Patanjali gives a secret for controlling the mind in his Yoga Sutras. See, here is a secret. He says here, when negative or harmful, sinful thoughts disturb the mind, they can be overcome by constant pondering over their opposites. Vitarka badane patipaksha bhavanam. Meaning, a devotee must be ever alert, always watching the mind, and we should ponder over the opposites. That means if the mind is thinking of negative things, you can think of positive things. How he is saying it? Whenever useless or sinful thought waves arise while chanting japa, they should be immediately replaced with positive thoughts. Such action will create new mental habits conducive to spiritual advancement. In other words, one should replace thoughts of enjoyment with thoughts of service. For example, if while chanting japa, you think about exploiting someone for sense pleasure, you can reverse the thought by thinking how to serve and help that person become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada mentions this opposite thinking process in the following quote. There may be thousands of beautiful women before a devotee, but that does not disturb his mind. He sees they are all energies of Krishna. The devotee thinks they are gopis of Krishna. They are enjoyable by Krishna. I have to serve them because I am the servant of the servant. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasatasanadas. A devotee should try to engage all beautiful women in the service of Krishna. That is his duty. Not to enjoy them. That is sense gratification. This is the position of a devotee. He is not pierced by the arrows of Cupid because he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. There was one girl in America called Saradiya. She was called by other devotees as Sara. So this girl, she was sent to school. She was a devotee's daughter. So when she was going to college and coming, one day she came back and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, my classmates are always disturbing me. These boys keep asking me, give me your address. We want to come and meet you in your home. So Prabhupada told her, no problem. Give them the address. And Prabhupada said, not your home address, but the temple address. And Prabhupada said, they will come to the address and they will, instead of finding you, they will find Krishna and become devotees of Krishna. So, in this way, our mind, in case our mind is disturbing like this, one should think positive things. Here comes something valuable. In my personal experience, I found that after I started reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I found that I have abundant information or kajana, treasury, to meditate on after reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna book. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna book are so wonderful. If you read the pastimes of Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Pandavas, if you read the different sections of Bhagavatam, Gajendra Moksham, all these things. So these things, if you become very inspired by something and you become touched by it, then it has a deep impression in your mind. And that gets just stuck in your mind. And time keeps coming. So, just like to empty the mind is very difficult. But you can fill the mind with positive sound vibration. Positive thoughts like that. Just like if you want to remove oxygen completely, it's very difficult. But you fill up the bulb with, inert gases like argon, krypton, xenon, then the oxygen will be automatically driven out. Similarly, the wisdom literatures, they give us a great opportunity to fill up our mind with positive thoughts. As I was telling you my own experience, when I chant the holy names, many times I recite the prayers of either Gajendra or Prahlad or Nagapatnis or the gopis. So when you remember those prayers, they are so wonderful. To remember those prayers. And if you just one prayer I will tell from Gopis, Gopi Gitam. Gopi Gitam is the most favorite section of the prayers. So, in one song, the Gopis are praying. Prahasitam priya prema vikshanam viharanam chate dhyanamangalam Rahasi samvido yahrudi sprushah kuhakano manah kshobayanti chalasi yad brajat charayal pashu nalina sundaram Natate padam Shila Trinankurai Sidati Tinaha Kalilata Manaha Kanta Gachati. So gopis are praying, oh my dear Krishna, your cunning smiles and your loving glance, prahasitam priya prema vikshinam viharanam chate, and your memorable divine pastimes with all the Vrajabasis and Vrindavan. These are all very holy and divine to remember. Dhyana Mangalam. Mangalam means auspicious to remember. Rahasi Sambhido Yahridhya Spreshaya. And these are all heart-rending. These are all touching to our hearts. But if you leave Vrindavan like this and go away, then it is like taking away our life. Just like the lotus can be fully blossomed only in the presence of the sun. But if the sun disappears, then the lotus becomes dried up. Similarly, all of us, we can be cheerful only in your presence in Vrindavan. And then they are praying, when you go to the forest, when you walk in the paths of the forest of Vrindavan, there are so many thickets and grasses and roots and pebbles and thorns in the way. When you see your pinkish feet pressing those thorns and pebbles, we are afraid that they may prick your feet and hurt your feet. So when we think of that very thought, our hearts are deeply pained. So these are the prayers. So there are many prayers like this. I said there are prayers of Prahalad, amazing prayers. So if you read those prayers, our mind will be overflooded with the thoughts of those prayers. And it is very easy. Many students ask, Prabhuji, my mind is flooded with so much bad thought, so many negative thoughts are coming in the mind. Even I'm chanting Hare Krishna for so long, but I don't see any change, Again and again, same old things are coming in my mind. I feel what they are saying is very understandable. But there is no other alternative other than taking shelter of such wonderful pastimes of Krishna and the prayers that devotees offer in Srimad Bhagavatam. I feel the real secret lies there. Personally, in my life, I found that as the years passed by in Krishna consciousness, when I read Krishna Book of Prabhupada, when I read Srimad Bhagavatam, the attraction for Krishna consciousness and appreciation and absorption that increased by that very much. I can very confidently say that. So we can easily flood our heart with positive thoughts like that. That's what he's saying here. In summary, samskaras are compared to deep grooves or trenches cut in the mind, which make the mind always run in the same direction towards Maya and away from Krishna. But practicing sadhana bhakti and concentrating in japa gradually fills in these grooves and cuts new transcendental pathways on the surface of the mind. Constant chanting and meditation upon the forms of Radha Shyam, Radha Shyama, fills up the mental trenches and gradually makes new divine impressions in the mind. So here he is telling about concentrating, how it's a very interesting thing. Yeah. When one begins to concentrate, he has to quiet the mind, just as one quiets an ignorant child. Speak to the mind. Oh mind, you stupid monkey. Why are you always jumping here and there to foolish ideas and suggestions? Pursuing these material thoughts will only bring you and me endless suffering. Look at Radha Shyam Sundar, the ultimate beauty. A perfect divine couple, radiating joy, compassion and love. Cherishing memories of sensual pleasures while chanting japa revives the false ego and fills one with the I am the enjoyer spirit. That means you should not think about sense pleasures. What is the danger of that? Then it will reinforce your bodily consciousness. Many times people think, if I think bad things in mind, who will know? Nobody will know. If somebody thinks like that, he is a fool number one. Because if you think about bad things, then you are reinforcing what consciousness? Bodily consciousness. Then again and again we think we have the body and we go down by that. So we are filling up the I am the enjoyer spirit by that. At times like this, one must reinforce his seva vritti, thoughts for service, by repeatedly telling oneself, Aham Brahmasmi, Krishna Nityadas. I am not this body. I am pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. I am not the enjoyer. I am nothing but Krishna's eternal servant. Be indifferent when nonsense ideas or simple thoughts arise. Do not welcome them with open arms. Bad thoughts will disappear by not identifying with them and by telling yourself with conviction, I do not want these thoughts. I have nothing to do with these thoughts. Gradually the mind will give up its nasty habits and happily honor Krishna's name and hold on to his lotus feet. This is the dharana, or concentration in japa. So, the meaning of being indifferent is, sometimes you find a child is very naughty, and if the parents take note of the child, he will become more naughty. You have seen that? Like a monkey also. Sometimes a monkey makes some sound and he'll show his teeth, you know. Then you also show your teeth, then he'll show his teeth bigger, you know. And he'll keep repeating so many things. But if you ignore the monkey or ignore a child, then they become quiet, because they are not getting the attention. Same is true with the mind also. One should learn to be indifferent to the mind. Ignore the mind. And more you don't identify with the bad thoughts, the amplitude of the bad thoughts will reduce. But the problem is, sometimes we reinforce the bad thoughts. As I was telling you, some students become a victim of pornographic sites, or pornographic books, or watching the nasty posters. By doing those things, you are reinforcing your bad thoughts in the mind. Then nobody can help you much. Then you are actually degrading yourself by that. Yeah. If you are really serious about returning back to Godhead, then one should take these things very seriously. So now we talked about conscious mind. There is also subconscious mind. It is said 90% of a person's personality is based on what? Conscious mind or subconscious mind? Subconscious mind. That makes our life all the more difficult, isn't it? Subconscious mind has 5 undercurrents. Why they are called as undercurrents? Sometimes you are going in an ocean, in your boat. And there may be a storm coming, which is very easily perceivable, isn't it? There may be big waves coming, they are easily perceivable. There may be sharks jumping up here and there. So they are easily seeable. But if there are undercurrents in the water, then nobody can know them very easily. Like a tsunami wave, it began from an epicenter somewhere near Indonesia. You know that? Some epicenter in that current was created. Like that. It was created and then it became a big wave and the water splashed later on as tsunami wave. So the undercurrents are very dangerous and they are not easily detectable. They are often overlooked, not perceivable. So these are the 5 undercurrents. The first is the false ego. False ego puts us to the wrong notion that aham and mameti. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. In Bhagavatam it is said. What is that verse? Pumsah kriyamitani bhavametam tayor mito hriday ganti mahu ato griha chetra sitapya vittair janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Yeah. When man and woman come together, the hard knot of material bondage is tied between them. And then what follows that? Ato griha. The house comes. Ato griha kshetra. The field of work comes. Suta, the children. Apta, relatives. Vitta, wealth. Everything follows. All these things, when they surround you, what do you think? Janasya mohoyam. One is subjected to moha. One thinks, I am the leader of this family. And of course, it's not that one should not take care of the family members, but one forgets his spiritual identity. That's the problem. Like sometimes you find, when there's a difference between grihastha and a grihamedhi. Grihastha means, a man knows, I am a soul, my wife is a soul, our children are souls, and we all are Krishna dasas and Krishna dasis. Like that. And Krishna has put them under my custody. I will train them, educate them, and we will lead a pure life and we will all go back home, back to Godhead. Then he is a grihastha. Griha medhi means he makes the wife the deity of the home, center of the home. And his whole life is centered around the home only. You know, bringing best garments and garlands and jewelry and cosmetics. And to make her happy is the ultimate goal of his life. Yeah. And then after that the children come. Then mother and father, their attention turns to her children. Hey, just see how he says mama, how he says papa. Whole attention goes there. Now teeth has grown and he's saying big words. Then put him in the school, whole attention goes there. So this is called, in the Bhagavatam 7th canto, Prahlad says this. katam priyaya anukampitaya. He says, how can a man whose heart is, core of the heart is filled with pictures of his family members and relatives and friends, either the heart is filled with that, otherwise the purse is filled with that. Some people carry the photos in the purse. So, people in this way are absorbed in thoughts, and he's saying, people become attached not only to the wife who is sweet-spoken and gives him solitary embraces, but also one becomes attached to the children, then one becomes attached to the servants working at home, one becomes attached to the furniture at home, one becomes attached to the animals at home, and like in those days cow and modern times dogs. One becomes attached to the animals. So in this way, one can become attached to so many things, and that is false ego. And aham mameti, I and mine, deep rooted, very very deep rooted. People like, you know, I met a 80-year-old man recently, 80 or 82 years old. So he came to meet me. So whenever anybody meets me, I always tell some sandesh from the scriptures. So I asked him, sir, how is your life now? And immediately I saw some rays of smile on his face. And he said, there was one more property in another place which we have been longing to develop in our life. Now after finishing the previous work, I handed it over to my son. Now the new property we have taken, 2 acres land, now I am going to develop it now. Now we have to make the construction, other things, you know. We are building a bungalow and everything. So I was telling, what about your preparation for going back to Godhead? You are an 82-year-old man and you have a big smile on your face saying that you are going to develop a building now, you know, doing the construction work, sitting and counting the cement bags and doing all this. When are you going to chant the Lord's names? So you can see the false ego makes him think, oh, this is our land and I am going to develop something here. Such a old age, he'll be dead and gone. That place will now no more be his. After just in a few years he is going to die. Already his body is so weak and invalid. So this false ego, it's first undercurrent, which makes you think, I am great and I have many things that belong to me. They are all mine. So we have to keep remembering this in our mind, that everything that is with me, like in America, one lady was living in a home. One fine morning, she heard a battering sound on the door. Loud sound. And she was in the bed. She didn't even want to get up. And some people broke open the door and came in. They were policemen. And they literally caught hold of her bed like a stretcher, lifted it up and took it right outside the house and put her out of the house. And she was screaming. And they went inside the house and they threw everything out, the TV, fridge, all the things in the house, they threw everything. And she was saying, no, why are you doing this to me? Because the period was over and she wasn't paying the rent and she was supposed to quit the place and she didn't do that. So when the court order came, she was thrown out of the house like that. And she immediately went to the neighborhood telephone booth to call her husband, just see what's happening. In the meantime, from the door she saw all the people are carrying the TV and fridge and everything and people were fleeing from there. She could not control anybody. You can imagine how horrible the condition might be. So death also comes like this in our lives. When death comes, you don't have enough time to, you know, settle the things also. I have my computer, I could have sold it to somebody. No, I have the bank balance here and it's in my name. I have not put any nominee also. I forgot to put any nominee. And this land is there. I didn't know whether to sell it or keep it and I have not developed it. That's lying there. So there will be many, many pending things, but you will not be given enough time, because your throat will be choked. So, one should always give up this false ego. Remember that I am the soul different from the body, I have to go to another destination. Past life conditioning. This is a serious problem. Sometimes you see a person is a good person, behaving as if he is a very nice person. Suddenly he does a blunder. Anybody has seen like that experience? Somebody has been normally appearing to be a good person, but suddenly he does thievery. Or suddenly he commits a blunder by misbehaving in some way. And you wonder how. Later on you meet the person and talk to him, he may say, I myself don't know how. Because the past life conditioning, are not totally perceivable. All of us know about our personality to some extent. But some conditionings we have which we ourselves may not be aware of. So these conditionings are deep-rooted. Maybe I'll read exactly so you get a... So when the past life conditions are strong, that is when the intellect does not work. And we are controlled by these latent subconscious memories. Many times you see mature people making some mistakes. And when they are caught, they go through some punishment. If you ask them, how is it that they made the mistake? They would say, please don't ask, I don't know what came into my head at that moment and I was driven by it. So this is called as conditionings. Sometimes in our life also, suddenly some conditioning comes. Sometimes you feel, I have never been so lusty in my life. Or sometimes you feel, I have never been so greedy in my life. I am unable to give up. Sometimes you feel, I have never been so angry. So people say, I was overpowered. You have heard this? People say, I was overpowered by anger, or greed, or lust. I just lost my control. Honest people admit, I just lost my control. I didn't know why I did what I did. Like sometimes such behavior leads to big loss and one regrets later. So we all have past conditionings. So this is also subtle in subconsciousness, but it's not that you cannot know it. That is why it is always better for us to be humble. So if you have been always humble, at occasionally such things happen to us, people will tolerate us. They will not throw us away. They will keep us in association. At normal times, if you are humble, occasional times, if our past life conditionings overpower us, then still people will tolerate us. Then the upbringing. This is by the way our parents and grandparents have raised us. How they have raised you. Sometimes you find there are quarrel and misunderstanding amongst the elders in the family. There is impersonal treatment in the family, like mother and father go to job and the child is at home and taken care of by a maid servant, mistreated by the maid servant. Sometimes the child is abused. Many, many children have stunted growth in their childhood. Sometimes I see among students also that they have grown up, they have big bodies, but their hearts are not so much developed because they didn't get love from their parents. They didn't get a good treatment, or they have seen mother and father quarreling or divorcing. Actually in America, nowadays there are so many divorces happening. There are many books coming in the market. When father leaves, dot dot dot. When mother leaves, dot dot dot. There are books like that. So these books are meant for whom? For the children. Children are supposed to read these books. So just imagine, actually it creates a very deep effect on the children. Whatever we all have seen and done in our childhood, mind you, it has a very great effect on your personality. I can confidently say, in my school days, my moral teachers who taught me moral science, I am ever grateful to them. They taught so much wonderfully moral science. In fact, I remember my school teachers below my fourth standard, as fresh as I remember any of you. People who taught in my school days in second standard, third standard, fourth standard, especially the moral science subject. They were themselves very exemplary in their values and character and their behavior, and they taught also very good values. So what we get in our childhood has a great effect in our future also. That's why you find some boys, some are very, very timid and very introverted, having stunted growth. And some people, their psychology is so distorted that at the least expected moment they break down to tears sometimes. It's because of the upbringing. They must have seen mistreatment. Sometimes the mother and father, they have a Kurukshetra war at home. And the child becomes a victim watching this. Who is going to win? Mother is throwing a belna from the kitchen. And the father will defend himself with. Sometimes one can see the fight at home. It's a horrible sight. So what do you think the child will do? And tomorrow he will also become quarrelsome, belligerent attitude. So this is upbringing. And for this association, what type of friends you had in your school days and college days, that also matters a lot. Not only what friends you had, how did you associate with them? Some of you, I believe, must be having thick friends whom you may want to make them into devotees. But then you know that they won't become devotees. Enough for sure. I have also friends like that in my school days. I don't try. Because I know some people are venomous people. Thank God you are saved. Because there are good people, there are bad people, there are different types of natures. People can actually, by their association, they can influence you very much. You will see in our school days and college days, 99% of us, you will see, we become influenced by our friends. You ask yourself, in your spiritual life or in your material life, the steps that you have taken is because of some friend of yours. You will see that. Like in our school days, whatever bad things our friends did, we also would have shared it. Because the peer pressure is very, very strong in school and college days. Same way in Krishna consciousness also, some of your friends must have inspired you and you took to it very seriously, being inspired by them. So this is the fourth very powerful undercurrent. This association also means our family background again. If one had good family background, you must associate with good families and had done good things. Like for example, in India, the sanskaras are good in many families. Like some boys tell me that, you know, in their homes they used to have saptaha, and they used to have pujas, they used to, hear Ramayana katha, Mahabharata katha. It's very good. Some sanskaras you got in your childhood, now you are developing it more, you know, when you grow up. Otherwise, if you got very bad things, then that actually again adds up to the problem. So these four are the great undercurrents. That are undercurrents that are very silent but causing us terrible problems in our life. We can easily see that we want to advance in Krishna consciousness and go back to Him. But in our mind are these undercurrents. These are all coming from past life. You see this past life conditioning. That's coming from the past. False ego also is coming from the past. But upbringing is in this life. Association is in this life and past life, both. So we can see that all these things actually pull us down. But if we are simply tossed by these undercurrents and we are in the middle of the ocean, how are we going to elevate ourselves? Fortunately, Krishna has given us this fifth undercurrent that's mentioned here, willpower. So how can I activate my willpower to bring out the innate qualities of the soul, like peace, love, truth, happiness and equilibrium? Can you show the other one slide? Next, So there is something called the willpower. We have to activate the willpower. Here comes the solution part, which is most important. So how do we activate our willpower? I believe all of you have heard about this willpower before also, isn't it? Where there is a will, there is a way, it is said. So if you have the willpower, you can cut through all these undercurrents. Just like iron only cuts ions, isn't it? For example, if you condition iron in a particular manner, then you can make a tool, cutting tool. With a cutting tool, you can cut iron. It's possible. Similarly, there is also a fortunate willpower undercurrent given by God, which is there in our system. God has given us the free will. So if we can activate it, then by that activated willpower, we can very easily cut through the undercurrents from the subconsciousness, as well as those in the conscious mind. Both can be easily overcome. In order to activate the willpower, we need positive thought energy. So we are talking about the types of thoughts. See, thoughts have as I told about the vrittis, thoughts are called as the vrittis. They have a very profound effect because the vrittis only turn into vasanas and then eventually turn into samskaras over a period of time. So what you think is very important. Scientists did not know about this field of thought so much before. Now they have found out that, for example, one man is sitting in this room and one man is sitting 10 rooms away. And if this man is thinking some envious thoughts or bad thoughts about that person, the thought wave travels and goes and hurts that person. And that person will easily feel, hey, why that person is feeling angry with me? He can feel that, they are saying. So that person can feel. For example, if I am angry with one of you, even before I tell you that I am angry with you, you will be able to feel that this person is angry. Can you imagine? Thoughts have such powerful effect. scientists are finding out. Similarly, if you are grandmother or grandfather, mother, father, or your guru, or superiors, they bless you. You bow down to them. Many people wonder what happens simply by putting the head down. No, lot of things happen. When you put your head down and look at their feet, then immediately your consciousness becomes submissive to the person whom you are bowing down. Your mind becomes submissive, consciousness becomes submissive. You become receptive to hear the good instructions that the other person is going to give. When one is a superior, when you bow down. And that person also, because you are submitting, immediately you are evoking the compassion in his heart. This is the secret to evoke the compassion in superiors. And when you evoke the compassion aspect of the person, he feels abundant good feelings in his heart, which he transports to you, from his system to your system. So the good wishes and well wishes is transporting. And then those good thoughts that he feels by your bowing down, they come and surround you. And then wherever you go, whatever you do, that brings about good for you. That is why among devotees you will find devotees praying, Prabhu, can you please pray for me? And many people wonder, what is this praying? Okay, I'll pray for you, don't worry. But what is this praying? Actually, if you ask someone to pray for you, and if they pray, and if you ask many people to pray for you, actually you will benefit by that. If they give you blessings, if they give you prayers. So the thoughts have a very, very profound effect. In fact, scientists have found out now that the thoughts we have in the mind have a direct effect on the body. So one doctor made a profound statement, a famous doctor. He said, the mind attacks the body, he said. How the mind attacks the body? Whatever diseases you get in the body, they have a counterpart in their mind. First they are created in the mind and then they are created in your body. For example, there are two types of hormones that secrete in your system. Adrenaline is a negative hormone which is not good for the system. When you feel fearful or angry, adrenaline secretes. And when you are feeling good about yourself, when you are feeling very happy and cheerful, that time the endorphins secrete. And doctors have found out that when you are in a happy state of mind, you feel good. You feel very open-minded and all. At that time what happens? Because the happy state of mind, the endorphins secrete. And you are literally bathed with endorphins, which actually reinforces your immunity system. On the other hand, when you are fearful, you are threatened, you are insecure, you are angry, you are envious, at that time what secretes? Adrenaline secretes. Because of such a bad state of mind and thoughts, adrenaline secretes. And doctors have found out that when adrenaline secretes, it chokes the blood vessels, due to which there is a rise in blood pressure, leading eventually to a heart attack. Like that. So, in this way it is proved now that the mind attacks the body. So, if that is the case, try to understand how important are the thoughts you are thinking. Modern man is foolishly thinking, I can think anything in the mind. Whatever comes to mind, whether it is nasty or good, what's the problem? But this is the problem, yeah. Whatever memory you have given to your mind, based on that your thoughts will arise in your mind. And those thoughts are going to influence your system, influence your body. Like you see, there are positive thoughts, joy, love, hope, mercy, peace, honesty, harmony, tolerance, enthusiasm, understanding. So these are all positive thoughts, which benefit you and benefit others. These are unselfish thoughts. And there are negative thoughts, anger, stress, egoism, racism, laziness, revenge, carelessness, criticism, jealousy, mental attachment. These are all negative thoughts that are based on selfishness. And there are necessary thoughts which are required for daily work, career, routine and profession. And there are wasteful thoughts, brooding over the past and lamenting and fearing about the future which is not in your hands. So these are foolish, useless thoughts. So these thoughts have a profound effect. Next. So here are some of the sublime truths about the power of thoughts. You have another mic? Somebody can read one sentence. You have another mic there? As is the quality of our thoughts, so are our feelings, attitudes, beliefs and behavior. So you understand what is the meaning of quality of thought? Like, you know, you can have a quality of thought like selflessness. Let me do something for others. Let me do some welfare work for others. Let me be kind to others. Let me be helpful to others. That's a good quality thought. Let me pray to God. Let me surrender to Him. So the innocent thoughts which are pure and selfless, they are called as good quality thought. And bad quality thought means, why that person got the first rank? How to pull him down? Why this devotee is getting so much glorification? Why not me? These are bad quality thoughts. So we can easily know the quality of thoughts, what is going on in our mind. So based on that, our feelings, attitudes, beliefs and behavior, everything will happen. Yeah. Somebody has mic there? Please read further.
We are responsible for our own thoughts, feelings and behavior.
We are responsible, he is saying. Why? Because we have to take responsibility for our thoughts, feelings and behavior. So thought turns into word, word turns into behavior over a period of time. Yeah. Next.
Positive thoughts generate energy and strength.
And negative thoughts rob us of the power and strength and make us feel tired and drained. You see, in Krishna consciousness, we are fortunately given so many positive thoughts. The first, very first positive thought is, Jivara Sarupahai, Krishna Nitadas. I have a master, I am not anath, like a street dog. I have a master, Krishna, who is always watching me. He is all powerful, at the same time all loving. And he is my master and he is constantly protecting me at every moment. Now many scientists have found out that those people who can, they say imagine, who can imagine that there is some power that is protecting them, they have very healthy thoughts. So they have found out. Now a devotee need not imagine, devotee knows that Krishna is there, always protecting me. So now for a person to imagine somebody is protecting you, if he thinks it's imagination, can he actually think like that? It's very difficult. So actually ultimately all our research will bring us to religion, you will see that. So very first positive thought is Krishna is protecting me. And ultimately I have to go back to Godhead, which is a place of eternity, knowledge and bliss. There is no old age, no disease, no death. And I am going there after death. So that gives one a very great confidence. And we do activities which are actually spoken by many scientists to be very good. Although they don't keep God in the center, like managers are taught to raise the arms, to jump and dance. They tell the managers, why are you so stunted in your personality? You know, open your arms. They are wearing coat, suit, tie and everything. They are jumping in the company. You won't see many of the companies. They give this seminars and all to open up the personality. Laugh, ha 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 ha. You have to laugh loudly. Then you have to jump. You have to, you know, behave like children. You know, don't become too serious as a, you know, works manager or a, you know, managing director. Try to open up your personality. Be friendly, they are saying. But you know, when you become a Krishna conscious devotee, you do these things very naturally. You raise your arms, you dance, you chant. You behave like an innocent child automatically. So, our Krishna conscious life is very wonderful. We are hygienic in whatever we eat. In whatever activities we do, everything is sattvic. Sattvic habits are taught like that. So, that brings the positive thoughts. So that gives us strength. People sometimes wonder how devotees have so much stamina and strength. Prabhupada was such an old man, 70-year-old man. And he used to sleep for 3 hours and work all day. And his face was always cheerful and smiling. Because such positive spiritual thoughts keep a person very healthy and very cheerful. Whereas negative thoughts, they rob us of our power and strength and make us feel tired and drained. Next.
What we believe comes true for us due to this thought power.
See, the thought power also, what we believe comes to for us due to our thought power. That means, if one is always thinking negative, over a period of time, we ourselves do negative things. If one thinks positively, then one will do positive things. That is the reason why many modern positive mental attitude books talk about this one point. Because if you think something, that will happen to you, they say. Because that one point, it's like, you know, seeing one part of the truth, not seeing the other truth. So of course this one part of the truth is true. That if you always think, oh, I can't make it, I am very fallen, I always... Of course you have to think, you have to claim that you are fallen, but you should not behave fallen. Yeah. You can say that I am fallen, I want mercy. But one keeps behaving fallen, then he's a fool. Then he cannot advance. So one should actually want to go above the fallen state and not remain stuck up there. But if one is having inferiority complex, timidity, martyrdom, low self-esteem, such people actually put themselves in this zone. But devotion service is so hope-giving that nobody is rejected by Krishna. Even the most useless person is accepted by Krishna. Just like Kubja was old lady having so many bends in her body. Old lady. She was accepted by Krishna as a great devotee. Krishna accepts everyone. So by that hope, one can get positive thoughts. Then, next.
Lord Krishna says that in whatever way we think and act now, the sum total of all thoughts reflects at the time of death and decides our future situation. Thus, every thought in which we dwell is important to be kept.
Yeah, this is the Yam Yam Bhapi Smaran Bhavam I was telling. So it's very important that we take a closer look at ourselves. But what are the quality of thoughts I am thinking from morning to night? So it's valuable to write a diary to check out what kind of thoughts are generally going on in my mind. What is my relationship with my equals? What's my relationship with my juniors? What's my relationship with my seniors? What's my relationship with my spiritual master? What is my actual understanding of Krishna, Radha and Krishna? What's my understanding of Gaur Nithai? So often, it's very easy to give lectures. You know, we can sit in an asana and give a big lectures. That's very easy. But internally, who you are, you have to study yourself. Because in the long run, what's going to matter to you is not what you show off to others. That is simply superficial show. But internally, what you are is more important for you. Because that is what is going to decide the next body, the next destination. That is why change of gross body is not important, but change of subtle body is important, it is said. Because the subtle body continues, although the gross body may change. Because you give up one gross body and accept another, but the same subtle body continues, birth after birth. If you have a virus and a software now in one computer, you take it and put it in another computer, the same virus will be there. I put it in 5 different computers, all of them will get virus. Similarly, whatever is your subtle body now, man, buddhi, ahankar now, that continues life after life for many lifetimes. It just doesn't leave you like a shadow. It just continues. So unless we become determined to reform our subtle body, then we don't have much hope. So we should become eager to reform and purify our subtle body. That is why reforming the subtle body begins with our behavior. That is the reason why we have these Vaishnava etiquettes. How we think in our mind, what should be our internal attitude, and then how should we behave. There are 3 things: knowledge, skills and values. We say knowledge we acquire from the Shastra, but that knowledge should not remain bookish knowledge, theoretical knowledge. It should turn into understanding and realization. Similarly, the skills are to be acquired. One has to acquire the skills and develop abilities. And the values are innate in you. You have to bring it out from your system. It's there in your heart. The values like love, compassion, mercy, peace, friendliness. All these qualities are there. So that is in the soul. That has to be brought out. That is what happens when one takes shelter of a spiritual master and chants Hare Krishna. The inner qualities, they just ooze out. They come out. Just like a volcano, when it comes out, then all the lava, it comes out and pervades the whole mountain in the top, like manganese or something. Similarly, you will find Vrigari was so barbaric in the early stage. But after he met Narada Muni, all the inner qualities of the soul, they broke through the subtle and gross coverings and they came out and they manifested on his body. He became loving, he became compassionate, he became non-violent. He became spiritual minded. So one has to actually bring out those qualities. So that is why moment to moment thought and the words we speak and our actions are very important for a devotee. Although all of us are very busy, we are doing one time programs and succession programs and getting more new boys and developing our preaching, expanding our frontiers, All these are very nice. But as Prabhupada said, we should also remember, it's very nice to be eager to save the world, but it is more important to save oneself. So, without developing our inner stamina, inner spiritual muscles, what good is our preaching if you are just doing only externally wanting to get more people? So that is very important. One has to be cheerfully situated in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one is frustrated internally, one is not stably situated, then all our external activities will not mean much. In the long run, we will be exposed at one point of time. That's why these things, the attention has to be paid. One has to put a torchlight into one's heart and pay attention to the quality of chanting, the quality of thoughts, the quality of desires we have. We may spend several years in Krishna consciousness and still continue to have the behavior that we had, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So why does a person want to repeat the sinful action, although one has become a devotee? The reason is said that again one's vatsalya has become polluted. Then one's intelligence and mind can become polluted again. So one has to, that is why one has to be in association. Being in association of devotees ensures hearing regularly from devotees. When you give this positive input, it goes inside and keeps reminding you of your identity, who you are. You are actually Krishna Das, not Maya Das. If you become Maya Das, you will be Sadhav Das. So when devotees keep reminding you about that. That is why every thought in which we dwell is important to be checked. And also we should remember, it takes time to change the old patterns of thinking. So we have to have patience. Sometimes people get frustrated. Oh, I have been a devotee for 2 years, I am still the same person. I have not changed. Like one person came to His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami in Bombay when he was in his room. He said, Maharaj, I don't think this Krishna consciousness will work for me, In those days, it was quite easy to meet him, so he had come for selling. And Maharaj asked, how do you know that it's not working for you? And he said very calmly, no, Maharaj, it doesn't work for me. And Maharaj asked, 2 years before you came, you had any habits? Were you smoking? And he said, yeah, I was smoking several packets. He said, do you smoke now? He asked, smoke? I cannot even think of touching a cigarette. He said, and Maharaj said, were you drinking? He said, yeah, I used to occasionally drink. Now you drink? No. Now I cannot even dream of it. He said. Maharaj said, this is progress. So this is also a sign of progress, he said. So it's not that, progress means I have to, my hair should stand on end and tears should come from my eyes and heart should palpitate, And body should tremble. And Krishna, 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 like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited. Where is Krishna, I should feel that. People think that is progress. That is too greedy to expect to have that. That will take us lifetimes. Such a person too is too greedy. We are giving little input and expecting a big output. For the surrender, what we are doing, this much progress is enough. So, we are making some progress, surely. All of you now, for example, even if somebody tells you, I'll give you 1 crore rupees, but you just take one puff of cigarette, will you take? I'm not asking everyone, especially those who are staying in the base, chanting 16 rounds. Isn't it? Even if somebody gives you 1 crore, you will never want to take a puff of cigarette. You know that it is prohibited, means prohibited. Nothing doing. I will never touch it. So, that means it's a sign of progress. We are certainly progressing. And we will make more and more progress. We have to be patient. Why we should be patient? Keeping in mind the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. What are all there we were discussing today. So if you understand these things, you know that these things can't be changed very quick. It takes time. One has to be patient. That doesn't mean you should become lazy either. You have to be patient, but you have to work hard to change them. Next. Next. Boosting up the willpower. Here are some ideas given. Somebody can read it loudly. You have a mic with you. Read all of them.
Willpower is activated when intelligence is nourished by higher consciousness, wisdom that makes one taste higher spiritual experiences. Studying spirituality.
Yeah. Studying spirituality systematically and applying in everyday life. This is the reason why we have regular classes every day in the basis, to to rise above the passion and ignorance. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobha dayaschaye chetaye tairana viddam stitam sattve prasidati. In Bhagavatam it says, if you perform devotion service, bhakti every day, what will happen? By regular hearing and chanting, tada rajastamo bhava, rajoguna and tamoguna, you will rise to sattvaguna. Sitam sattve prasidati. You will come to sattvaguna. What happens when you come to sattvaguna? Yevam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Yevam prasanna manaso means one becomes a cheerful person. Prasanna manas. Bhagavad bhakti yogatah, because he is hooked Bhagavad Bhakti, to the devotional service. He is connected to the devotion service of the Lord. By that he becomes very cheerful. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam, and one learns the science of Godhead. Mukta sangasya jayate, one becomes completely liberated from the pushings and pullings of the mind and the senses. One becomes a free bird completely. Vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva samshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani drishtayeva atmanishvare. Vidyate hridaya granti, all the knots in our heart are cut to pieces, he says. No more knots, no more brooding over the past, fear of the future, nothing. All the knots are cut to pieces. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva samshayaha, no more doubts about Krishna. You are convinced Krishna is my Lord and I am his devotee, and I have to just serve him, love him and go back to him. Sarva samshayaha, all samshayas are gone. Kshiyante chasya karmani, all our karma bandhana is also cut to pieces. Krishna evatmanishvare, in this way one can perceive the Lord by performing devotional service. So studying spirituality is the beginning and gradually turns into understanding and realization. Next.
Eating pure sattvic food that is offered to God, the
star. Yeah. In the Upanishad it is said, the food that we eat has three ingredients. The gross thing that you see with your eyes, that turns into stool and urine. It goes away. And the nutrition value of the food, which cannot be seen with eyes, but can be scientifically understood. You know, the calorific value, nutrition value. Like some foods are this much big, but they have very less calorific value. But some foods like cashew nuts are so small, but they have a lot of nutrition. So that nutrition effect actually, that is the one which goes into forming of the blood and nourishment of the body. That's the second part. And the third part is the consciousness with which the food is cooked. The subtlest thing. See, the gross thing can be seen with eyes, the nutrition thing cannot be seen, but the consciousness with which the food is cooked and served, the subtlest thing, that goes to the brain and brings about positive or negative thoughts, it is said. That is why it is said in the Shastra, the cow's milk, if one drinks hot cow's milk in the night regularly, that goes straight to the brain and creates the brain tissues, by which one gets the spiritual acumen to understand the scriptures, and one gets the power of discrimination to distinguish between the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, pure and the impure, temporary and the permanent. One gets that ability. That's why cow is very special. Cow's milk is very special also. So those who eat sattvic ahar, they get sattvic habits. If you eat sattvic ahar, you will see that your bodily limbs, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, all your senses and hands and legs, karmendriyas, they all will behave in a sattvic way if you eat sattvic ahar. If you eat rajasic ahar, you will behave in a rajasic way. Tamasic ahar, you eat. Actually, how these foods are called as sattvic, rajasic, tamasic? Based on, if you put something in your mouth, whatever behavior you show with your body and external senses, based on that the food is calculated as sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. You understand? For example, you put some liquor into a person's mouth, how he behaves? It goes crazy, isn't it? Then that means liquor is tamasic. That's how it's categorized. Whatever effects it produces in your body, based on that, it is categorized like that. So what is prasad? Prasad is Shuddha Sattva. It is divine. It's a mercy of Krishna which takes a form with which you can see with our eyes. If you can see Krishna's mercy in a tangible form, that is prasadam. So by putting it inside our system, it is so wonderful. It goes into the stomach and it will purify. Within 7 years, all the cells of your body are replaced. So you'll be having a prasad body after 7 years. If you eat prasad every day, if you eat only prasad, you have a body made of prasad after 7 years. And your mind also thinks of, you know, pure thoughts come in the mind, and then pure behavior also. Yeah. Next.
Practicing sattvic habits like rising early morning often fails by chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So rising early itself is a good habit. Huh? Between 9 to 12 it's equivalent to 6 hours of sleep, doctors have found out. 12 to 3 is equivalent to 3 hours sleep. And 3 to 6 is equivalent to 1.5 hours sleep. And sleeping after 6 is useless. It doesn't help you much. No? So, the Ayurvedic formula is sleep with the sun and wake up with the sun. That is the formula. That means early to bed and early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy and wise, as it is said. So those who sleep early feel very healthy. At the same time, chanting prayers gives a tremendous sense of inner security. When you pray to God, nowadays offering prayers has become so common in even ordinary books. People who would never talk of God nowadays are talking about prayers, the good effects of prayers. That's a very big subject to talk. What the prayer actually does to a person. They have even found out, physically they have measured the fructose and glucose in the body levels when a person, you know, is in a prayerful mood to God. What happens in a person's body? It even produces physical, mental, psychological effects, positive effects in a person's body when one offers prayers. And what to speak of the benefit of the soul? When one offers prayers, then one invokes the mercy of God very easily. Prayers go up, blessings come down. You heard this? So when you offer prayers, abundant blessings come upon us. Next.
Physical activities that make bad karma accrue more and more. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication and illicit sex.
Yeah. So all these bad activities like meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, they all plunges into bodily consciousness. And they degrade our consciousness and make us glide down in a downward spiral of, you know, animal life and bird life and plant life like that. So one should avoid these four activities. By avoiding these four activities, you will become a proper human being. And then you can become a sattvic very easily. Next. Keeping
good company that enhances positive spiritual thinking, like the company of pure-hearted devotees of the Lord.
Yeah. Keeping good company that enhances positive spiritual thinking, like the company of pure-hearted devotees. When you come in the company of devotees, you won't hear the vulgar words what you hear in the college. Students generally use all kinds of words. You will see that. They speak about bad things, especially when they form a group, you will see. Once there are 5-6 boys come together, what they talk, nobody can hear. All rubbish things they speak. But amongst devotees, if there are 5-6 devotees together, they will be glorifying Krishna. They will be glorifying past times of Krishna. So, one should keep the company of devotees and make a tight network with devotees. And that will, actually when I used to be in college, I used to think of the devotees so much. Because if you are close to devotees, you can think of the devotees very well. It's possible. But sometimes if you just keep a very formal relationship with devotees, but a very friendly relationship with karmis, very soon you become karmi yourself. But if you are able to strike some relationship with some of the devotees and become close to them. And then slowly increase the distance with karmis, only keep a working relationship with them. Then over a period of time you will see yourself becoming a better and better and better devotee. Some people, they don't say, but they do this, what I am saying. They just keep distance from devotees and do minimum Krishna consciousness. And then the outside world, they are very happy, smiling, keeping good friendship with, you know, materialistic people. This is a proof that they want to be materialistic. If you really want to be Krishna conscious, you want to go back to God, what should you do? You should do just the opposite. With karmis, just shake hands, hello, good morning. That's all. And the devotees, very friendly. No? Be very friendly with them. Then you can progress in Krishna consciousness nicely. Next. Yeah. So I was telling you, the core of our heart is filled with, the soul is having all these qualities, peace, love, power, truth, happiness, equilibrium, all that. So, by awakening our original qualities through chanting Hare Krishna and all these positive things which we told you now, what happens? You will see that, externally we have these acquired qualities based on our external experiences, abilities that you pick up, memories that you have, learning, habits, beliefs, these are all simply superficial. They have no connection to the soul. Somebody may say, Prabhu, to be, you know, lazy is my habit. Prabhu, by habit I have the habit of uncleanliness. These are all habits. Similarly, we have so many bogus beliefs also in our lives. All these things, experiences and memories based on perceptions, these are all acquired qualities. But the innate qualities are on the right side, you see. Peace, love, power, all those things. So what we should do, the volcano, you have to bring it from inside out. It's called as inside out, we call it. When you bring it out, what happens? You have to superimpose the innate qualities over the acquired qualities. Yeah. Then what will happen? In all the roles that you have to play, in the routines that you have to fulfill, and the responsibilities that you take in life, that you have to shoulder, and the relationships that you cherish, in all that these qualities will be observed. For example, in your relationships, you will exhibit godly qualities in your relationships with others. In your responsibilities towards your mother, father, wife, husband, children, you will also take spiritual responsibility for them. And the routines when you do, you will have a spiritual routine. Like morning rising, chanting in the morning, offering prayers, reading Bhagavatam. So it also influences your routine also. And the roles that you have to play, you will understand. I am not just an engineer working for a company. I have a role as a father of a child who has to make the child Krishna conscious. Husband of a woman whom I have to make Krishna conscious. And leader of a home and have to keep the home Krishna conscious. And I am a member of a ISKCON society or Bhaktivedanta Academy. So I have to preach Krishna consciousness and set an ideal example for many others to follow. So you will find that in all the roles you play, those qualities will also matter. You will see that. In this way, we can bring out the innate qualities in us, original qualities. Next. Yeah, this I already said that. Yeah, next. Next. Yeah, that's all I think. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah. Next. Yeah. Anyway, this is about the doctor's advice for stress reduction. This is about Dr. David Brian Wolf mentions that by chanting Hare Krishna, persons who habitually think depressing thoughts, such as I am worthless, useless, such people, they train themselves to replace these negative thoughts with thoughts that are rewarding and supportive of self-esteem, he is saying. That means, scientific research shows that anyone who chants Hare Krishna will gradually give up inferiority complex and they will get very high self-esteem. This is a practical experiment that is done. There is a thesis on, doctorate thesis on effects of the Hare Krishna mantra on stress, depression and three gunas. So I have the thesis, if anybody is interested you can see. So he explains in that thesis this point. That means it is scientifically proved that chanting Hare Krishna makes a person have positive mental attitude. That's the point it makes. Next. Yeah, that's all. Next. This is Ambarish Maharaj. Yeah. Thank you very much. We are very late. Actually, it was a long session. I tried to complete it in one sitting. Can you put on the light? So tomorrow morning, instead of Bhagavatam, I will take questions. Just like I did last time. You remember? So we had one session on faith and doubt. So we had a lecture in the evening and next day morning we took questions. And plenty of questions were there. So you all can write your questions and morning you can bring it to the Bhagavatam class. We will do that only if many of you have questions. How many of your questions has raised the hand you would like to ask tomorrow morning? We have almost 10 or 12. Okay. Thank you. Okay, those who are raising a hand, you all will be available tomorrow morning. All of you? Okay. Then tomorrow morning we will answer your questions based on what we heard now. So, I actually wanted to summarize but we don't have time. So tomorrow morning we will begin with summary. So I will summarize what I spoke now in about 15 minutes or so. So that you will be able to solidify the principles that you heard now. Otherwise it shouldn't get evaporated. So morning we will recapitulate and summarize what we discussed now. And then after that we will have question and answer in the morning. So now we will join the Nam Sankirtan of the Holy Name for about 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Bhagavad Bhaktavinda ki. So any devotees who would like to join the Kirtan